Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. It's good to see you, to welcome you to the sanctuary, and we also welcome those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. Welcome each and every one. Doesn't this look very interesting? More shall be revealed later. Watch this space. Let us worship God. Hymn 213, 213. Every new morning God gives us freely. The call to prayer comes from the well-known Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day, set apart from all others, we gather to worship you. You are the living God, the one who brought the world into being, and the one who is the source of all life. Lord God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we praise you for your amazing love, which is without limit. And we rejoice that we belong to you, the one who gave us Jesus Christ, that we might have life in all its fullness. Eternal God, you know us better than we know ourselves and are familiar with all our ways. We confess we have sinned against you through what we have thought, said, and done, and we have failed to love one another in the way that you have asked us to do. Gracious God, whose mercies are new every morning, forgive us our faults and failings, and give us the help that we need, so that amending our ways, we may be able to live our lives in accordance with your will. Eternal God, exalted among the nations and clothed with splendor on high, open our hearts to your presence now. Speak to us afresh the word of life, and may all that we say and do be pleasing to you, the one who is worthy of glory, honor, and praise. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one family, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be served in the sanctuary following the service. Please do wait behind, if you can, for a further time of fellowship. This evening at 6:30, there'll be a Songs of Praise service in the Church of the Holy Rood, and all will be most welcome. This is a Stirling Kirks Together service, so you'll be very welcome this evening, and if it helps to attract you and make you come along, there'll be no sermon. 6:30 this evening, the Church of the Holy Rood, though I know you all love sermons. Stirling Kirks Together will host a lunch in Park Church Hall on Wednesday at 12 noon. Again, all will be welcome. Given the forecast and the drop in the temperature, it's been decided not to go ahead with the picnic that was planned for next Saturday. There is a kind of autumnal feel now, and the forecast at the moment is for rain and for 14 degrees, so not maybe very pleasant for sitting out in the garden. And I've got to admit, the garden's gone back a wee bit already. But rest assured, we will have a picnic next year, maybe in June, and if not in June, then in July. And finally, second last, the Kirk session will meet a week on Tuesday at 7, the parish halls, that's the earlier time of 7. And then finally, the Sacrament of Holy Communion will be celebrated next Sunday, when we also will welcome the Reverend Jake Lehman and his family, and we look forward to that. You may recall that Jake is going to be with me for 12 months. He'll be with us here in the old parish, doing what's called a familiarisation placement. He and his wife and three children arrived last Tuesday from Michigan in the United States. And they're just a lovely family all together. And I had them round at the manse yesterday for a meal. I hope they're none the worse of that today. But Jake and Melissa and the three children will be with us next Sunday, and I know that you'll give them a great welcome. What is love? There's a question worth asking, isn't it? And isn't it true that we use the word love in different ways? We might say, I love ice cream. Hands up if you like ice cream. Or, I love chocolate. A few more. Or, I love working in the garden. Who loves working in the garden? Yep, quite a few. Or, I love playing football. Anyone play football? I think there's maybe one or two. Or we might say, I love my family. But to be honest, to find out what true love is, we have to look to God. And why have we to look to God? Well, John tells us in his letter in the New Testament, we look to God because God is love. Now, let me explain what all this is before us today. I want you to imagine that this is us, right? This is you, this is me, this is our hearts. And our hearts are meant to have love in them. But sometimes we only have so much love. Isn't that right? And because we only have so much love, it can be restricted to certain people. So if the love is restricted, who might we love? Who might we love? Any guesses? Your family. We'd love our family. Friends. We'd love our friends. Ourselves. Very good, Valerie. I hadn't thought of that one, actually. Good for you. So we'd love our family, our friends, ourselves, and I would imagine maybe people that we like. That'd be true. But there's a sense in which maybe if we're loving all these people and ourselves, that's as far as it goes. We find it difficult to love beyond that. However, God's love is not limited in that way. God's love is so full and overflowing that he loves each and every one of us and all beyond. That's what John tells us in the Gospel. For God so loved the world, and didn't he prove it in the most wonderful way? He gave us Jesus to be our Saviour and our Lord. Now, I want you to imagine this is God's love, right? And this, what do you call this again? Begins with P.
Picture.
Yes, I knew I'd forget that word. This picture, hope it's not a sign of things to come. This picture is full to the brim, right? So let's see what happens. This is God's love. And if we let it, God's love will come into our hearts and fill them to the point that they're overflowing. Do you see that? And so there is enough love to be in here and in here. And these other glasses, well, they don't necessarily represent our families or friends or ourselves or the people we like. These represent all the people that we meet in the course of our everyday lives. They represent even people we might not like and that we might find it hard to love. But we can when we allow God's wonderful love to overflow, to fill our hearts. And when it does, we are able to fulfill what Jesus has asked of us. Love one another as I have loved you. So today, as we thank God for his love, let us open our hearts that he might fill them anew. Thanks be to God. When I was preparing for Sunday, I thought of a song, but I couldn't just remember it. I wonder if you can help me. It's about God's love. It's so wide, so high. We'll need to sing it some Sunday. We'll need to sing it some Sunday, because that would have been perfect to follow on from what I've just been saying. But here's another good one. It's 193, hymn 193. God is love, his the care.
Thank you. Today's first reading is taken from Psalm 32, verses 1 to 7, and it can be found on page 467 of the Pew Bible. That's Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Our second reading is taken from Luke chapter 15 at verse 11 to 32, and it can be found in page 66 of the Pew Bible. That's Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger of son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, said the father, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen.
Thank you, Christine, Christine's doing a double shift today as she's also reading one of the lessons this evening at the Songs of Praise in the Holy Rood. So, Christine, you can have two biscuits today. We're going to sing a lovely, moving hymn, hymn 553, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Jesus was a remarkable communicator. We see that in the parables he told, and the one we are going to think about today is no exception. The parable of the prodigal son, or perhaps more accurately, the parable of the loving father, is one of the most famous and poignant stories ever told. In telling the parable, Jesus invites us to see ourselves in the rebellious younger son and the resentful older brother. And ultimately, he encourages us to find hope. Yes, hope in the extravagant and unending love of God. Let's think first of all of the younger son. His story begins with a brazen act. He demands his inheritance while his father is still alive. Now, if that happened in our culture today, we might think, what a cheek, or words to that effect. But in the culture we're thinking about, it was as if the younger son was saying to his father, I wish you were dead. Now that tells us something about the younger son. He didn't care about his father or his father's feelings. All he thought about was himself and the life that he could have with the money he already considered to be his own. And so the father, knowing that if the son was ever to learn, he must learn the hard way, granted his request. And off he goes to the far country. But can I suggest to you, my friends, the far country is not only measured by geographical distance. The younger son has turned his back on his family and the stability and emotional support of a good home, and how precious a thing that is. The younger son wants his independence, and he gets it. But what happens? He has a good time to begin with. When you've got plenty of money, you can do what you want. And he did what he wanted. At last he was his own master, and he relished his newfound freedom. But the pleasure did not last. He spent all that his father gave him, every last penny. He was totally skint. And to make matters worse, a severe famine hit the land. And he ended up doing something that a Jew was forbidden to do. He looked after and fed pigs. It never rains, but it pours. Are you familiar with that phrase? One problem seems to follow another. We've all been there, got the T-shirt. Well, the younger son certainly had the T-shirt. What a situation to get into. What a mess he had made of his life. And sadly, there are many who make such a mess today. They don't know how blessed they are, and continually think that the grass is greener on the other side. But in this famous story told by Jesus, there is a phrase that gives hope. And can I put it to you today, where Jesus Christ is concerned, there is always hope. So what's the phrase? It's the phrase, he came to his senses. Or as other versions of the Bible put it, he came to himself. His dreams shattered. What did he do? He thought of home, and he decided to return and to acknowledge his wrongdoing and ask to be treated not as a son, but as a servant. It's easy to be critical of the younger son and to point the accusing finger at him. But isn't there a bit of the younger son in each one of us? The longing to be ourselves, the desire to be set free from the expectations that other people have of us, the wish to do what we want to do without fear or favour. But life isn't like that. Not for most of us anyway. Yet there are people today who seek their inheritance, who want to enjoy all the blessings of life, but to do so without God. Therefore, they turn their backs on him and they wander off to the far country, believing they can make their own way and find happiness. And let's be honest, there are people like that who succeed. They find fulfillment in worldly pleasures, careers, or possessions. But some, perhaps more than we realize, and they will admit, find themselves in a spiritual famine, empty and longing, though they may not realize it, longing for home and longing for God. In today's psalm, we find the psalmist in a terrible state. His unconfessed sin had got a hold of him and held him in its grip, so much so that he speaks of his bones wasting away. How awful. But then he did something. He came to his senses. He came to himself. And he confessed his sin to God. And what freedom and what happiness he knew. The burden was lifted and he was set free. The younger son's decision to return home could tend to be self-serving. Further evidence that he was thinking only of himself and what was best for him. But it is clear from his father's response, he did not see it like that. So let's move on. Let's move on from the younger son to the father. Now, many a father whose son had treated him so badly would either have told him, turn around, go on your way, or at least they might have made him grovel. But not this father. It would seem that ever since his younger son had left home and gone to the far country, the father had stood each and every day, watching, waiting, hoping, praying, his son would return. And then the great day came and he saw him. And what did he do? In a move that would have been thought undignified for a man of his standing, he ran to meet his son. And before his son could make his well-rehearsed speech, apologizing for the mess he had made and the hurt he had caused, the father embraced him. He forgave him. And to celebrate, he ordered that a big party be held. And he kitted him out with a new robe, a ring, and sandals, symbols, my dear friends, not of a grudging acceptance, one that was conditional. No. These were symbols of full restoration. My son, who was lost, is now found. He has come home. Abraham Lincoln was once asked how he was going to treat the rebellious Southerners when they had finally been defeated and returned to the Union of the United States. And the questioner expected that Lincoln would say, well, I'm going to treat them harshly because of what they did. But that's not what he said. This is what he said. I will treat them as if they had never been away. That's wonderful. What grace was in that man's heart. I wonder what your thoughts are as you reflect on the father's treatment of the younger son. Might you be thinking, where is the justice here? Shouldn't the younger son at least have been allowed to apologize and then been put on probation for a time? Maybe you're thinking that. And I can understand that. But that's not how the father in the parable acted. And what did Jesus say? He said the father is like God. One whose mercy is unrestrained and whose love is extravagant in the extreme. Now we find comfort in that. We draw strength from that mercy and that love. But there's a challenge. As the church, the body of Christ, we are called not only to accept that mercy and love, we are also to show it in our dealings with one another and to embrace unconditionally all we encounter and who come among us. And that includes those who have botched things up and made mistakes. My dear people, what we see here in this famous and poignant story is the very heart of the gospel. And beyond that, it is the heart of God himself. A God who is always watching, not with condemnation, but with boundless compassion. Then finally, briefly, there's the older brother. Don't know about any of the men here. I'm an older brother. Any of you an older brother? Yes. We all know what it's like. One commentator referred to the older brother as the pouting son. I think, on first hearing the story, many of us would have more than a degree of sympathy for the older brother. He comes across as dutiful and loyal, one on whom his father could depend and who wanted to help and support his father. But alas, his response to his younger brother's return home and the party held to celebrate indicates that he also was lost. His obedience was not motivated by love for his father, but a sense of duty. It's something he felt he just had to do. And he sees his dealings with his father as a transaction and not a relationship. And therefore he cannot celebrate the grace shown to his brother. Why? Because he thinks he deserves it more. The older brother may have remained at home, but he was like the younger brother, in that he thought only of himself and what would one day be his. Whereas credit to the younger brother, though he made a mistake, he recognized it. He owned up to it. And when he returned home, he was penitent. and he was sorry. So here's the million-dollar question. Who are you like? Who am I like? Are we like the younger son, feeling the emptiness of our recklessness and yearning for home? Or are we like the older brother, faithfully doing our duty, but deep within we're resentful towards those who are shown kindness and mercy by God? If the truth be told, I think we're a mixture of both. We have all in some way wandered into that far country, whether through open rebellion or through a hardened heart and full of our own importance. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. With God, there's always good news. Never bad news, always good news. No fake news with God. The good news is the Father is waiting for both sons. He is running to meet the one coming home in rags, and he's pleading with the other to come inside and join the party. His arms are open wide, and his joy is complete when any of his lost children are found. No matter how far anyone may stray, or how long a person may stand outside, always the Father is calling, come home. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord of all hopefulness, we worship God in hymn 166.
Thank you.
We come before God with our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give thanks for the amazing love that you have for us. A love that is broad and deep and high. A love that is extravagant. A love that fills us and enables us to love one another. Lord God, we praise you for the beauty of creation and the wonders of the natural world. And as we move from summer into autumn, we thank you for the changing seasons and for all that they reveal to us about you, the Creator who sustains us and provides us and all living creatures with all that we need. Gracious God, we give thanks for Jesus Christ, the King of love, for his hands swift to welcome and his arms to embrace. Through him you have given us new life and cause for great hope as we look to the future, even at such a time as this. For all your blessings, both great and small, we offer our heartfelt praise. Almighty God, the world you made is good, yet it is a world broken by war, injustice, and strife. Bring peace where there is conflict, and guide the leaders of the nations that they may know your will and obey it. Gracious God, we pray for our country, where leadership across the political spectrum is concerning and disappointing. We pray for our country at a time when there is an erosion in public trust. And so we pray, bring to our parliaments men and women of integrity who will restore confidence and, laying aside all thought of self, will work for the good of all people. Lord God, we pray for our local community, for two primary schools and the high school, for care homes, for businesses and shops, for the Health and Care Village and Belfield Centre. Bless each and every one, O God. We pray for those who are lonely today or who feel forgotten. May they know your presence. We pray for those who are sick and ask that you will heal them. We pray for those who are sad, remembering as we do the family and friends of Irene Hamilton, and we ask that they would know your peace. Eternal God, whose compassion and love is beyond our deserving, yet is given abundantly, we pray for your church throughout the world and in this place. Guide all in positions of leadership, and regardless of all that would divide us, bind us together as one great, united fellowship of faith, and all to your eternal praise and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I remind you of the invitation to tea, coffee and biscuits following the service. You'll be most welcome. Our final hymn is hymn 518, 518. Lift up your hearts, we lift them, Lord, to thee. May the mercy of God surround you and fill you with his love. May the boundless grace of our Lord Jesus Christ transform your hearts and minds and strengthen you for every good work. And may the Holy Spirit descend upon you and be with you all, now and forevermore.